I'm Blair O'Neill with the Golf Channel, and you're listening to Southern Fairways Radio, hosted by Randy Bergen. Now, let's have some fun with Southern Fairways Radio.
Here's Tua, stepping back, loads up, looks long, throws, end zone, touchdown! Touchdown, Alabama! Devontae Smith, touchdown, Alabama! And the Crimson Tide has once again ascended to the top of the college football mountain. Their fifth national championship in 9 years, their 17th overall.
45, there goes Davis!
Oh my God!
Davis is going to run it all the way back! Auburn's going to win the football game! He ran it back 109 yards! Holy cow! Oh my God! Auburn wins! Auburn has won the Iron Bowl!
Oh no! In your life have you seen anything like that?
It's time! And welcome in. Good Saturday morning to you. Right here on another edition of Southern Fairway Sports Radio Show. We're broadcasting live today from our Strixon Studios located in South Alabama. And as always, today's show is presented by McConnell Automotive, where there are no shenanigans and hassle-free buying at McConnell Automotive, located just east of I-65 on Dolphin Street in Mobile. Or you can check them out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. Also brought to you by All Weather Roofing, the number one roofing company in Mobile and Baldwin counties. There's a reason that they're number one. Call and find out. All Weather Roofing at 251-220-2114 or online at allweatherroofing.online. Big, big show for you. As Ed Sullivan would say, big, big show for you. That was more like Johnny Carson. Anyway. Bobby Hall, Sweet Swinging Bobby Hall, hanging out with us. You are the director of golf at Quiver. If you didn't know that, you're the director of golf at Quiver Golf Club.
All right.
How you doing, my man?
Yeah, hey, I did something the first time I've done something in weeks and months. I turned off the air conditioning. It was nice outside this morning.
Did Alabama Power turn it off?
Well, we come close sometimes. But, yeah, it's a nice morning. We had close to 60 players out this morning for the Men's Golf Association. A lot of them in jackets this morning, but it's nice. Very nice. Get outside and enjoy the weather.
It's a great time to play golf. No doubt about it. It's a great time for football. Also hanging out with us, Coach Rick Cleveland. Coach, thanks for hanging around. I know you're specifically – hanging around for the next segment.
Yeah, I am. But don't worry about Bobby's power getting turned off.
No.
As long as he gets into Wednesday game with us. Let me tell you, he's well endowed.
Well endowed?
He's well endowed in the pocket.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I don't want to mistake that.
This is the 10 a.m. show, not the 10 p.m. show.
Well, that's just the wrong word, and I apologize for that. But he's winning everything, and it's almost frustrating because, you know, when he gets on the green, it don't matter. It just doesn't matter. I'm not even going to watch anymore. I used to try to watch through my
rangefinder.
And Bobby, he hits it and goes and picks it up out of the hole.
That's all he does.
And waves back at us.
It says, yeah, that right there just got me a Franklin.
I wish.
No, hey.
He's playing good.
He is playing good. Trust me.
Sometimes. I didn't putt very well yesterday. Let a few people off the hook, but, you know, got to be fair about it. Got to give back.
Right. See, now I see, okay? Yeah. I get to go play 9 holes maybe once every 2 weeks. All right, I got to play with Bobby on Wednesday afternoon. Now I understand, Bobby, you're playing golf every day now.
No.
No, that's not true.
That's not true. Okay, I'm sorry. No. Every other day, or a day that ends in Y.
No.
No.
No?
No, he's on that.
I don't work at the country club.
I can tell you what he's doing. I see him doing.
Yeah.
He's working, it seems like, 18 hours a day every time I see him. I mean, on the range.
I was picking up range this morning, yeah, helping out.
You do that a lot. You do that a lot. Hey, guys, as you mentioned, golf is in the air right now. Football going on, some big games. We're going to be talking about those coming up throughout the show. But let me go ahead and set the all-weather roofing guest line up for you. Coming up in our next segment, you will not want to miss it. You've maybe heard her on the show before, recorded. But for the first time live, Boom with Boomstyle Kitchen is going to be on here. All right, Bob, you get an opportunity to go by and see her from time to time.
Oh, yes.
And the food is spectacular. She's got Absolutely. A little special going on that she will tell you about coming up in the next segment. Turn your volume up a little loud. You're going to need it. And get ready to laugh because it will be a very fun segment.
Okay.
No doubt. You'll love it for sure. Then at the bottom of the hour, tournament director for the CJ Cup, Byron Nelson. John Drago is going to be on with us. Of course, he was one of the rules officials at the Ryder Cup last week. And as a matter of fact, he went out on the first match with Justin Thomas, Bryson DeChambeau, John Rahm, and Tyrrell Hatton.
Correct.
And he's got some stories to tell us about. And I didn't really realize that our other buddy, Tom Corpus, was there as well. So he got a lot of TV time.
Right. Yeah, they're both of them very good. John's such a great guy. You got to meet Tom, still is a member of the PGA of America. He was a head golf professional, worked his way up the rules ladder, and is now with the Champions Tour.
That's right.
But he's also on the National Rules Committee for the PGA of America, so good to have them at the Ryder Cup. Let me tell you, those guys in the trenches doing rules, they know their stuff. And I want to talk about that a little bit in the next segment when we get John about the differences in match play and stroke play and my reason why I think we lost. And why America's not playing well in match play events, and I want to talk about that later. But well, nice to have John on. He's got some. He said he saw the two greatest shots he's ever seen before.
Yep.
So we want to hear about that. So
were they American or were they Euro? We'll find out at the bottom of the hour.
Yep.
So good stuff.
Yeah, but I want to ask Bobby this while we got him here. While I'm here, Bobby, the ruling that took like 20 minutes to make.
Decide, yeah.
Go over that for me because I don't understand it.
I'm not familiar.
Justin Rose had hit and was behind. It looked like it was a temporary
T-I-O, yeah.
T-N-O, right? But they allowed him to get out somehow and he made a – it doesn't matter where he put it, he made a heck of a shot.
Yeah.
Okay. Temporary movable obstructions are things like tents, leaderboards, parked vehicles that are not movable during the event. They're brought in specially for the event. We don't usually see those at the golf course during normal play. Let's say you find a truck. Somebody's parked a truck on the golf course, and you can't get in it, and you can't move.
Right.
Then I would rule it a TIO. So a temporary removal obstruction, you are allowed line of sight. Okay, we get out on the golf course. A lot of you see these irrigation boxes that are out there.
Yeah.
Okay, you do not get line of sight on that. That is there every day. It's part of the golf course. The building, something that's built there, a bathroom that you see on the golf course, it's there. You don't get line of sight relief from that. But something that is there temporary for the event, you're allowed to go to where you can clearly see the flag, one club length plus one. So you actually get two club lengths from the area that you get line of sight relief. It's a difficult ruling. It's not a difficult ruling, but the TIO, sometimes you get in a precarious situation. Is that TIO in the line of play?
Right.
And let's say you're behind a tree and you can't hit it straight at the pin. Well, we might not give you relief for that TIO. You have to clearly be able to make a shot. So evidently he was able to, being the great player that he is, I didn't see this ruling, but probably he could play a shot towards the pin and that TIO, and then he got relief. It also, when Justin won the British Open, or the Open as they call it over there, there was a large tower that could not be moved. They were trying to move it, but they couldn't move it. They ended up giving him relief. He got a heck of a break, and he went on to win the Open over there. So sometimes it's a difficult ruling. If something is movable, we want to move it. But if you can't move it, then there's a rule for it.
We're going to get with John Drago on that because that's one of the questions I have for him. I want to see how that came about, but it should be a lot of fun. I will tell you that very disappointed in the way the fans treated the Euros. Yeah. I think the way they did Roy McIlroy's wife throwing beer on her. I've watched that several times. That's unacceptable. Guys, you're better than that. You know, we are much better than that, and very disappointing.
I thought the Euros, you certainly gave them a lot more a lot more to fight for, mm-hmm. and it proved perfect. Now, don't take anything away from America on Sunday. The USA team did outstanding on Saturday, coming back and winning as many matches and making it of a U.S. Open, yeah. I mean, a Ryder Cup than mm-hmm. we saw on Friday and Saturday.
Well, the PGA of America, we look to them, I mean, in the highest esteem, but then they hired Heather McMahon, and what she did,
right.
Unspeakable.
And it's just now, I think we just got an apology from Ray. What's the Ray? He's the president of the PGA. Just got that today. It took you a week to write an apology for that.
Well, Tom Watson took it on his own to go apologize to him.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right, hey, let's take our first time out. When we come back, don't want to miss it. Boom with Boom's Thai Kitchen. She's up next. Got a special for you. It's coming your way right here on Southern Fairways. Welcome back to Southern Fairways right here on the SFS Radio Network. Randy Berg along with Sweet Swing and Bobby Hall, Director of Golf at Quail Creek Golf Club in beautiful Fairhope, Alabama. Coach Rick Cleveland hanging out with us as well. As guys, time to go to our Boudreaux's Cajun Grill and welcome in the one and only Boom with Boom's Thai Kitchen. More than a woman, I can promise you that she is a heck of a cook and making up some great food at Boom's Thai Kitchen. Boom, thank you for taking time to come on our show today.
Hi, how are you?
Good. We are happy to have you, and I know you've got some really good specials going on. Tell us a little bit about what's going on at Boom's Thai Kitchen. Now, folks, she's located in Fairhope at the Piggly Wiggly Food Mart, so you got to go by and see her. But what do you have on the hot bar today?
Today we have a ton of the food. We have pad thai, fried rice. Also, the best sale, coconut milk soup, tom yum, appetizer, egg roll, boom roll, and crab rangoon.
If you've not had the crab rangoon, oh my goodness, it is awesome. Okay, now let me ask you, folks are getting set for a lot of football today, a lot of college football. I know one of your favorite teams is Alabama, and that's awesome. Roll Tide.
Yes, Roll Tide.
What, if somebody... Okay, if someone wants a party tray, you can do that for them, correct?
Yes, we have a party tray going on a lot right now, and if you have a party, 25 people, you better call me, give me 2 days before that, but also you can call if you have a small party, like 4 or 5 people or just family, we can do it, just call in and we can do it for you in 30, 40 minutes like that.
Oh, very good. We got Boom with Boom's Thai Kitchen on with us. And, Bob, you got a question?
Hey, folks out there listening, Boom does a fantastic job. Her food is fantastic. We get some carry out sometimes for our couples events during the month out at the golf course. Her Boom Rolls are excellent. You're always going to get a smile on your face when you see Miss Boom, and we just really appreciate all she does. Like she said, she can do the go plates. They got plenty of go specials there, and I just encourage you to go out. And she's a wonderful person. And thank you, Boom, for being on, and good luck to you today. But like she said, call ahead.
Thank you.
My quick little story is I had 15-20 Boom Rolls to take home to the family. They never made it home. I ate every one of them before I got home. They're so good. But thank you, Boom, and good luck to you, and Roll Tide.
You're very welcome, Roll Tide.
All right, Boom. So folks want to come see you. She's located at the food court of Piggly Wiggly in Fairhope. And, Boom, do you have the number that if they want to call and order, they can do that?
Okay. We also have a DoorDash too. If you don't want to come out, and you can look at the DoorDash and order from DoorDash, and you can call Piggy Wiggly on this is number 251-928-0239, and asking for Boom Thai Kitchen. And you can, you know, call us, like, we can make food for you, like, 15 minutes, you know, like, not that long.
There you go. There you go. It's awesome.
Grab and go available every day until they close. But one day, before
Sunday. No, that's good stuff. But you still got grab and go on Monday, so they can go by and get that. And, guys, you can check out on Facebook also. You can go to Boom's Thai Kitchen on Facebook. Well, Boom, we know that you're busy, so thank you for taking time to be with us, and we are looking forward. And, Coach, I know you're looking forward to getting some of that food over there.
Well,
so.
I love Miss Boom, I can tell you that.
Thank you.
And I echo what Bobby said. And it's, yeah, every time I play Quail Creek, I go by and see Boom. You're welcome, darling, and thank you so much for what you do. And thank you most of all for looking after Randy. That's the thing that we're so thankful for.
All right, Boom. Go have fun today.
Hey, Boom. Yeah. Swadika.
Swadika. Khopkun ka. Thank you.
All right, there you go. That's Boom with Boom's Thai Kitchen. You can check her out online at Boom's Thai Kitchen. Actually, she's on Facebook. You can check out their Facebook. Good stuff. Go by and see her. She'll give you a big hug. And the food is absolutely fantastic. I'm telling you, the Boom rolls, the egg roll, the pot thai, the curry, the Musselman curry, spicy coconut. She got grab and go. Check it out. Fantastic. That's why we look like we look. If you haven't seen us, now we have another fat pack here with us, Rick. So good stuff. All right, hey, let's talk. I know we're going to talk some golf with John Drago coming up at the bottom of the hour here in probably about 7 or 8 minutes. We'll talk some golf with him. We're also going to talk some football with him. Of course, he's a big Texas guy. Texas is there in Gainesville today.
Yep.
I think this is the first start for Arch Manning in the SEC on the road.
Yeah.
Coach, give me your assessment so far as you've watched Arch. He's been up and down. It's been, there was a lot of anticipation of an excitement for him, but that's been a little bit of a letdown. Would you agree?
Well, I do. And I think it's unfair. I mean, I think the people that expected so much out of him, I don't think it was coaches. I think it was a lot of radio people that, you know, that's their job. That's their job to build players up and or tear them down, as some do. And I just think more was expected of him than should be expected. I mean, he's playing his first college season as a starter. He's got a great coach in Steve Sarkisian. But at the same time, he's playing against really outstanding defenses. And today – he's going to play against one of the best defenses in the Southeastern Conference when they go to Gainesville and play against a team that's hungry, and they're playing for their coach too. Now you got to remember that, and so I think today's game will be—I think it'll be a slobber knocker defensively. I don't think there'll be as many points scored as have been scored in the past because both of these defenses are really salty, and I think Arch Manning will be a really outstanding player at some point in time. Right now, he's average at best, to be honest with you.
And you're going to see a lot, of course, as you mentioned, Florida's 3-1 on the season.
Yep.
For Texas, they're 1-3. This will be the first SEC game of the season for them. When you roll into Gainesville, I don't care really what the Gators' record is. That's a tough place to go play.
Absolutely.
And right now, I do believe that Florida is trying their best to keep, I think these players like Napier. I think they want to play for him. But right now, with a 1-3 record, you better get going because you got Texas and you got Texas A&M, Mississippi State. That's going to be a 50-50 there.
Yeah.
So, and then you hit Georgia. So, I mean, that's a pretty little road they got ahead of them. So,
well, I'm looking forward to that, Rick. I appreciate you talking about their defense because, you know, I would just pick Texas by 24 points easy, but I'm glad to hear they have a defense, so I'll be watching that today.
And they do. They're stout defensively, but, boy, they are really struggling offensively. And, Bobby, one of the problems that people have is that Billy Napier is calling the plays, and he's not going to change. He's just not going to do that. That's the way he's always done it. And I'm afraid that's going to be the means to the ends for Billy.
Coach, you've been doing this for a long time, 40-plus years.
Yeah.
And you've been around a lot of offensive coordinators. You've been around that a lot.
Yeah.
In high school, I know it's a little different than college, but in college, shouldn't you have an offensive coordinator that makes those calls? That's why you hire an offensive coordinator.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you can put your, as a head coach, you can put your focus on the whole team, not just one specific. Is that right or wrong?
Yeah, I'm a firm believer in that, Randy. I think that your job on that Saturday, your job is to be the CFO,
right?
The chief financial officer, in the sense that I'm responsible for every aspect of this game today. I need somebody calling plays and who's worked on that all week. He's worked on the whole team all week. Yeah, I agree with that 100%. I think he should have a different offensive coordinator than the head coach.
See, and I'll take it back, we'll put that analogy in golf as well. On a much smaller scale, whenever we have our Southern Fairways Golf Tour and Joey and I are doing it and Bobby's doing the rules, we're trying to put all this stuff together in the day.
Yeah.
And then go out and play.
Yeah.
And you've played with me. Bobby's played with me just about all of them.
Yeah.
Your mind's just not right.
Yeah.
And I think in football, if you're not focused on what you need to be focused on, then it's hard to get your team to surround you and be on the same sheet of music with you.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's all repetition, and you kind of got to go – you kind of got to play as – you've got a set schedule or a set what am I trying to say here, Coach? Plays, you're going to run a certain set of plays to start
right.
the game.
Right.
And then it just kind of develops.
Yeah, and the thing about it, your mind's going to be wondering as a head coach, when the defense is not playing well, the specialty teams aren't playing
right.
well, that's on my shoulders. I've got to deal with that. So I'm a big advocate of that, Randy, and I'm afraid that's going to be the end of Billy Napier at Florida. But let me tell you something. They make so much, and I don't want to make this a money thing, but they make so much money. If they have to pay him off when it's over, he'll live comfortably the rest of his life, and he may coach again. I think he'll coach again somewhere because he's a coach.
Yeah,
but,
that's the problem. I mean, because now it's not like, hey, if you win, it's based on. You make a certain amount of money. You make this outrageous amount of money. And it's not based on performance.
Yeah.
Okay? Where it used to be, hey, if you start winning some games, we're going to give you a bonus here. We're going to give you a bonus here. You make it to the championship, you get a bonus here. It's not that anymore.
Right.
It's, hey, if you don't make it, and Auburn's a pretty good example,
absolutely.
If you don't make it and we fire you in 3 years, it's okay. We're still going to give you $50 billion, you know? And it's just, I don't know. Bobby?
Well, like Coach at LSU said, what door you want me to walk out of?
That's right.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, yeah. They're paid. They should be paid on performance. Certainly agree with that. Yeah, and I think he should have an offensive coordinator. You know, I think of the great Todd Munkin that you coached at Southern Miss, and
yeah.
then after he left Southern Miss, he went on to be the offensive coordinator at Georgia. Now
yeah.
he's back in the pros. He was in the pros with Tampa Bay,
yeah.
came to Georgia, now he's back in the pros again. And all he wants to do is coach offense, and
yeah.
he's a great strategist. And when you have him, you got an edge up on the other team that you're playing.
Amen.
Would Todd Munkin come back and be a head coach one day? I hope he does, but I think he's comfortable where he is
yeah.
right now as an offensive coordinator.
Yep.
And does a great job.
I think sometimes we find ourselves putting a great salesman as the manager when you should have just left him as a great salesman.
That's a good point.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, we're going to talk to a great salesman. There's no doubt. John Drago is up next. He is the tournament director for CJ Cup Byron Nelson. We're going to talk football and golf with John right after this. And welcome back to Southern Fairway Sports Radio Show. Randy Bergen along with Sweet Swingin' Bobby Hall, Director of Golf at Quail Creek Golf Club. Coach Rick Cleveland has left the building. Glad to have him on for a little bit as we're efforting to get with John Drago. Make sure we got that number correct for sure. But, guys, a lot of games. Let's go through the schedule real quick and talk about some of the games coming up today, especially in the SEC. Of course, at 11 o'clock, big game. Georgia will be hosting the Wildcats of Kentucky. Georgia comes in ranked 12th. They will be at Sanford Stadium in Athens. That is an 11 o'clock game on ABC. We had been talking about number 9 Texas taking on Florida, 2:30 on the ESPN network. Ben Griffin Stadium, I'll tell you, the Swamp is a tough, tough place to be. Right now, Texas gives up 4.5 points. They're saying 42.5 is the over-under. What do you think? You think Florida wins that ball game? I think it's going to be a really good ball game for Arch Manning. He's going to have to come out and play well. That defense will be all over him. And for him to have his first start on the road in the SEC, this is going to be a challenge. I think they're going to have everything going in the right direction for Texas to get the win. We'll talk with John Drago about that as soon as we get connected with him. At 2:30, it is a revenge game as Alabama T-Town will host the Commodores of Vanderbilt. For Vanderbilt, they come in ranked 16th, and for Alabama right now, ranked 10th. That will be a 2:30 game on ABC. If you're one of those guys that put a little money on it, well, they've got Alabama giving up 12.5 points, and the over-under on that, 57.5 points. That is a lot of points, Coach, and I believe that both of these offenses certainly will be able to do that. Bobby, giving up, 57.5 points, that's wow. Quite a bit. So, well, let's do this. Let's go to our Boudreaux's Cajun Grill guest line and our all-weather roofing guest line to welcome in tournament director for the CJ Cup, Byron Nelson, our good friend John Drago. John, thank you for taking time to be with us, man. I know you've been a busy little bee here lately, but appreciate your time, brother.
You bet, Randy. Always glad to come on. Thanks.
Well, look. Yeah, look, man, I want to talk a little bit of Ryder Cup. Of course, we're going to talk some Texas football here in just a minute, but let's talk a little Ryder Cup. You were there last week. As a matter of fact, on Friday, you went out with the first – you were the official for the first match, which had Justin Thomas, Bryson DeChambeau, John Rahm, and Tyrrell Hatton. Talk about that. Talk about the atmosphere. Before we get into the golf side of it, talk about the atmosphere there at Bethpage.
Yeah, the atmosphere at a Ryder Cup on the first tee to me is one of the best things in sports, to be honest. To be there, standing there as they were kicking it off, I had to walk up and ask Bryson, as if I didn't know the answer, who was going to hit that first shot in foursomes match. Clearly, it was going to be him. Flyover happening, 8,000 fans in the stands right behind you. It was really electric, and something that's really hard to describe.
Well, you know, they come out and they win that first hole, the USA team does. And then just it kind of went downhill. They lost 7 and 8, then they lost 12 and 13 holes, and then 15 they lost the match 4 and 3. Talk about the Euro team. I mean, obviously they had a lot going on. The crowds were giving the Euro team a lot of crap, if you will. Talk about John Rahm and Tyrrell Hatton.
Yeah, it was fascinating to watch, to be really honest with you. I think the USA, if you go back and look, I felt like they won that first hole almost every time. But it just never seemed to matter. They never got the momentum from it. Europe always answered right away. Rahm and Hatton that first day were just unbelievable. And frankly, DeChambeau and Thomas just came out flat. You know, Thomas played pretty good the rest of the matches after that, but that first foursomes match, they came out a little bit flat, just could never catch up. They had, I think, on holes 6 and 7, Rahm hit maybe one of the best shots I've ever seen in my life from the left gunch to tie the match to about 12 feet. And then, you know, Tyrrell Hatton hit it off of a stick on hole number 7 on the next one to about 8 feet and was probably the second best shot I've seen in a long time. So they just kept him away. They didn't listen to the U.S. crowd, and they, you know, closed him out on 15.
Hey, John, Bobby Hall here. Do you think because we play so much stroke play on the PGA Tour that the competitive edge to, you know, when you're playing stroke play, you're kind of playing a little defensive. You chip out from the tree and reduce your mistakes. But in match play, it's kind of Katie bar the door, let's go with the flag. Do you think that makes an edge for the Europeans because we play so much stroke play?
I think it's as good of an explanation as any, because clearly they definitely were more comfortable out there. It just felt like the U.S. team never got comfortable in that team competition portion. Now, they came out in match play and, you know, beat them pretty soundly. obviously. So maybe at that point they were Katie bar the door because they were so far behind, and that was all they could do was to do everything they could to get up there. I just felt like we just never got. I don't know if it's because we play a President's Cup in between and they only play every other year, but something just felt like we couldn't gain any momentum. Like they were just grasping at straws a little bit, couldn't quite get it going. Always felt like it was about to happen and just never did.
We're visiting with John Drago, tournament director for the CJ Cup, Byron Nelson, one of the rules officials there at the Ryder Cup this year. And John, I want to ask you, because we were talking about it a little bit earlier, that incident, and I don't know if you were able to talk about it. I know you weren't official for that match with Justin Rose and Cam Young. Whenever I think Justin had hit his second shot, it took about 20 minutes to get a ruling over there. Do you have any input on that and can kind of explain? Because wasn't he behind what we thought was a temporary immovable object, but he got to move it to the side or something? Can you explain that a little bit better for us?
Yeah, you're right. A couple of matches in front of that, actually behind that group. And I heard a couple of calls over the radio, and I talked to one of our best rules officials, by the way, was that group, a guy named Jeff Kitty, the head pro at Aronimink Golf Club, where they're having the PGA Championship next year. So I talked to him a little bit about it afterwards, and it was one of those interesting situations. If you remember, the ball was on a cart path, and he was taking relief originally from a cart path. And it was one of those weird situations where his relief from the cart path put him into the TIO that you just talked about, and his relief from the TIO mm-hmm. put him back on the cart path. So it was kind of that ping pong effect, if you will. And most of our TIOs out there were also either side option. So there was just it took a long time to go through all of the options because he could have also gone to the other side, which was up on the 14th tee. There's so many people around there. So finding, you know, he ended up with both of those options. Obviously took a long time to get there, took relief on the same side as the original obstruction. Again, with all that going on, Keegan in his face, they finally get that drop down, and I think Justin hit it to about 8 feet, made par, won the hole. I mean, it's just, again, they just, with all that adversity, they still just came through and made the putts when they needed to.
It was a heck of a shot, there's no doubt. And you're right, he did make par. Yeah, and Keegan was not happy about that. I mean, you could,
no.
On TV, you could see he was visibly upset.
Absolutely. For that hole and going down 14 and going down 15, you could see it. But ended up, you know, like we are out there, those rulings are hard. They take time. You want to make sure you get it right. Jeff did everything that he was supposed to. Sometimes things like that just take longer. And, you know, kind of is what it is. It did stop a little bit of momentum that was going on there, and I think that's what had Keegan a little bit fired up.
Yeah, I
get you. Know, helping John with some of these tournaments, when certainly we do the one in American Century, and John always gives me a nice rules clinic to learn things. But when you're in these big events like this with the tents, the leaderboards, the crowds, and that's one thing I didn't know about this ruling, but when you're trying to move a bunch of people so you can get to the right spot, and then the player may decide, well, I don't want to go here. I want my other option. You're trying to give him all the options that he can because of these certain situations. So sometimes in these events, Keegan just has to go with it. And I would say to Keegan's face right now, you got the best rules officials in the United States working there. They know how to operate these rules, and you just got to take that it was a benefit for him. And sometimes as we try to teach people, I think John will agree with me, we're trying to teach you the rule, and a lot of times it will help you get out of trouble. It's not there to penalize you, especially dropping from a cart path or an abnormal ground condition. You can sometimes not necessarily take advantage of the rule, but have the rule help you to get into a better position. And this way, it just worked. And so he'll just have to take that
right
on the chin.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I would also say, you know, to Keegan as well, you know, clearly everybody was, emotions were really high then. Not surprising that, you know, he gets fired up. He's a competitive person. He's going to get in the middle of it. But I'm sure that when cooler heads prevailed later on, that he realized that same thing. I would hope so anyway.
Well, you know, and let me ask you, on the final day, we saw USA, Team USA, really make a charge back. Thought there might be a chance. It didn't come to fruition. But how was it? I mean, the excitement there with seeing that comeback. You saw Cam make that putt. Then you saw Justin make his putt. I mean, talk a little bit about now. Who did you have on Sunday? Which group did you have?
Yeah, I had the sixth group on Sunday, which was Rom versus Xander. And Xander, you know, came out, won the first couple of holes, had him two down early, and then Rom kind of scratched his way back, got it back to tied through about eight. And then when we made the turn, Xander put the gas down, and you know, he won the match 4-2 on hole 15. So that was that. But, yeah, you're right. As we were walking around, you could kind of see it. Like when I started, there was half blue and half red, and you knew they only needed 2 points, and it was just a matter of time. And I actually heard Xander tell his caddy, he said, when he got up too early, he said, hey, let's get us a point while it still matters. You know, like he wanted to, his goal was to win his point before that match was over. And then as you saw, you know, Bryson was five down through seven holes, I think. And as he started chipping away, and as Cameron won his match, and then Thomas made a big putt on 18 to win his match, and you could just get that little bit of feel, hang on here, this thing's not over yet. And, you know, there was all the talk about the Hovland half point. That may be the one that puts him over the edge. It was a crazy Sunday for one that everybody thought might be kind of a quiet victory lap.
We're visiting with John Drago, tournament director for the CJ Cup, Byron Nelson, and PGA rules official there at the Ryder Cup. And that was one I wanted to ask you too, John, is that half point that Hovland got being injured. And I know this has been a rule that's been on the books for a long time, but that seems like that rule has got to be revisited simply because you have an injured player that is not going to play, does not give my guy the opportunity to go win a full point, so we're just going to split it. That doesn't seem to make sense to me. Seems like if your guy's not going to play and you don't have an alternate, then you lose the point. Isn't that kind of common sense or no?
Yeah, I mean, I think all of us in the United States hate ties more than anything in the world. I mean, as a Dallas Cowboys fan, that's what I was thinking last Sunday also. and I agree with you. I think that, you know, I think it's interesting. You're right. It's been kind of in the captain's agreement. What do we do? All 12 players are supposed to play on Sunday. What happens if someone can't go? And it's really, really rare that it happens. But they've always agreed in the captain's agreement, there's certain things that both captains agree to if something happens. And it's always been this envelope rule where players, you know, the team puts a name in an envelope of someone else who will have to back out and that match would be considered tied. And I think it hasn't been used since like 1993. And that was the year that a U.S. player couldn't play, and that half point made a difference that match too. So it's one of those things. I think you're absolutely right. They're going to relook at it. It's gotten so much attention, and it was could have mattered so much this week that it'll get another look. Whether they change it or not, I don't know. But it wouldn't surprise me if they did change it.
Bobby, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I never have really thought about that. But yeah, if that's the way the captains had decided in the rules in the past, I'm kind of a historical buff. I don't like change. I think, you know, it's been set that way for so long that I would have to go with that. But like John said, they'll revisit it.
Hey, John, look, we got to take a 60-second timeout. Can you hang tight? Because I got to talk some Texas football with you.
You bet.
Can you do that? All right.
You bet.
All right, we're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we continue talking with John Drago. Don't go anywhere. And we welcome you back to Southern Fairway Sports Radio Show. Randy Bergen along with Sweet Swinging Bobby Hall, Director of Golf at Quail Creek Golf Club in Fairhope, Alabama. Speaking of which, it was great to have Boom on with Boom's Thai Kitchen. She's in Fairhope also. If you have a chance, swing by the Piggly Wiggly. You can go to the food court, go by and see Boom and pick up some great Thai food. It is fabulous, and you too can look like me and Bobby after eating her food. We're visiting with John Drago, Tournament Director for the CJ Cup, Byron Nelson, and PGA Rules Official at the Ryder Cup. All right, thank you for that great report on the Ryder Cup, John. I know it was exciting for you, but it's time to talk about one of your other loves, and that's the Texas Longhorns. Of course, they are on the road to Gainesville, taking on Napier, Coach Napier, and his Florida Gators. The defense for Florida is pretty doggone spanky. You got Arch Manning coming in, first SEC road start for him. Give me your assessment so far on Arch Manning as a Texas fan. How you assess his play so far?
Yeah, it's been a slow start. There's no doubt. You can't deny that. I think it's interesting because both he and Lagway had a lot of lot of talk coming into this season, and neither one of them have really performed up to that that level. But both those defenses, as you mentioned, have been playing extremely good. Texas defense has really been exceptional. I think we're going to be the same this week, and quite frankly, I'm looking for a coming out party today for Arch.
Well, I mean, you look at his stats right now. He's 65 for 106 attempts, almost 900 yards in passing. He's got 9 touchdowns. His longest is 83 yards right now. He's running at about 61% completion rate. How is that offense for Texas when you take a whole look at the offensive line, the skill players? When you take a look at that offense, how would you rate them right now in SEC play? I mean, I know against Ohio State, yeah, it was a tough run for the Longhorns, but how do you assess it right now? And I know you hadn't played in an SEC game yet,
yeah,
but you're fixing to – this is a different speed when you get into the SEC.
Yeah, there's no doubt. This is a critical week for us going on the road to Florida, away from Austin again next week against Oklahoma. So this stretch right now is really big for us, and clearly – the Texas offense has not been playing up to the level which they expected to be playing. I was going to say a lot. They had an off week last week. Hopefully they were able to put some things together. They've got to work on that offensive line. They've got to get some sort of run game going. They've got to convert on third down and just get a little bit of comfort. It feels to me like, Arch is getting all of the discussion right now, but they just kind of feel almost like we were talking about with the Ryder Cup team. They feel a little bit flat, a little bit like they just can't get it going. And I think this is an important big week. I'd like to see the run game get going.
Yeah, I'd like to see Texas have that big back that we're so used to over the years from Earl Campbell, and back when I was a kid in Texas was Steve Wooster, and just when we
dude, you're
to,
old.
I am old. We used yeah, to run the wishbone
old.
Under Darryl Royal. There was always a big back that could. That could carry that
yep.
ball, but and I know things have turned now to speed and quickness and getting to the outside as fast as they can. How are the running backs? Do we have a big back at Texas, or we got a lot of
yeah,
stat
it's,
backs?
Yeah, it's kind of been a
what's going on
yeah,
with
it's been
the
a
run
bit
game?
Of a, yeah, it's been a bit of a struggle because of injuries more than anything. Our biggest kind of back coming into this year, C.J. Baxter, looks like he's going to be out again today. So it's been a bit of a running back by committee. Quite frankly, I'd like to see Arch running a little bit more. He ran really well last year, the times that he did. I think maybe because of the teams that we've been playing, we've been holding that back a little bit. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him run the ball a little bit as well today.
Yeah, he's got some legs, so he can certainly do it, no doubt about it. We visited with John Drago, tournament director for the CJ Cup, Byron Nelson, also PGA rules official for the Ryder Cup. Talking a little SEC football, let's turn real quick. One of the big games is game day up in T-Town, Tuscaloosa, a place that you've been that Bobby and I are not real happy.
Yeah.
We look back and we were – Bobby, were we happy that we invited him to that game?
We were happy until the fourth quarter.
That's right.
Hey, I will
and that
say,
bus ride home was game, not too was, good for us.
I will say at that game I was treated a lot better by those fans than Rory was at Bethpage last week.
Yes, you were. Yes, you were. All right, so you got Alabama hosting Vanderbilt. Of course, Alabama, they got a little revenge going here with Pavia, who is, you know, he's a miniature or he's like a Johnny Manziel.
Yep.
How do you see this game in T-Town today?
I think this is where Alabama becomes Alabama, or at least I really hope so. I hope, Kalen DeBoer, I know this was a big one for him. I think they take care of business, and it's amazing to me. Who would have thought that College Game Day would be on Tuscaloosa's campus when they're playing against Vanderbilt? To see those two teams playing as ranked opponents should be fun, but I do think that Alabama's going to take care of business here this week for sure. I thought Bobby might be the guest
well,
speaker
and I
on
agree.
Game Day today, but I've got it on, and he's not
Well, you know what they did? They did call him, and he had to refuse because he had to be here today. He knew you were going to be on. So,
right.
So he's got a rain check for that. But, no, it's good stuff. And I guess as you look around the SEC right now, Ole Miss. I mean, look at Ole Miss, 5-0 right now. Missouri, 5-0. Vanderbilt, also 5-0. So, but now we all start getting – everybody starts getting into the meat of the SEC, and this is where we kind of start cannibalizing ourselves and just beating each other up.
Yep.
Absolutely right. You've seen a lot of, Aggie start strong and then fade in the past. You've seen – Ole Miss do the same. It'll be interesting to see who kind of stays the course this year and gets through this gauntlet.
Bobby, how do you see the Alabama game today?
Well, I think it's
as you wear your Alabama hat.
I have my Alabama hat on for sure. The Commodores, you know, they took that win from Alabama. There was a big upset last year, and like John said, it needs to be a coming out day for Alabama. I think it'll be a little bit in the back of their minds with this quarterback running around like he does, a little Johnny Manziel type, as we're talking about. But yeah, Alabama will take it in the end. But I. You know, if they're 5-0, there's a reason why Vanderbilt's playing good football. I think it'll be a good one. I think they come out on top. Alabama comes out on top.
And, of course, if you're an Auburn fan, Auburn has the weekend off, but Mississippi State travels over to Kyle Field to take on number 6, Texas A&M, who's been playing extremely good. I think Texas A&M is one of those teams that you better keep your eye on in the SEC, if not the nation right now. They've been playing some pretty good football, and that's not far from you. So what's your assessment on Texas A&M, John?
I don't talk about Texas A&M, to be honest. No, they're a really good football team this year. They're a really good football team. They make
That's all he's going to say.
For sure, but we're gonna focus on getting past Florida right now.
Well, watching game day on TV here in the studio, Nick Saban going with Mississippi State with the upset today. So that's interesting.
Oh,
yeah, John, you know, I am from Texas. I grew up in Waco. I was a big Baylor Bear fan, but I've known about Texas A&M. Texas-Oklahoma, Texas-Texas A&M rivalry is always big. Texas-Arkansas is always big. So it's big tradition in Texas. So I see why you don't talk about A&M.
Well,
that's right.
You kind of got to have your thumb on it just a little bit because your boss for Orlando and Lake Tahoe is a A&M fan, right?
Oh, yeah.
So you kind of got to talk a little bit
well,
about
he
it.
Has to. His wife went to A&M,
well,
so
exactly.
He has to.
That's right. We're talking about Millthorpe, of course.
Kathy Millthorpe went to Texas A&M, and that's where they live now.
So. Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, all right, John, look, man, I want to thank you for taking time to be with us. Now, what's the next big adventure for you this year?
You know, this is good. Well, I'm going to watch some football today. I've got the Texas OU game next week. Rules is pretty much over, and, you know, we're focusing on budgets for CJ Cup and heading to Korea to go meet with those guys in a couple of weeks. So it'll be great.
Well, no, that'll be good. And look, the CJ Cup, you're doing a great job with that. What is this? You're 27 for you? What is it?
23. 26? Yep. 23.
Okay. Well, look, we encourage folks, hey, if you can, get over to McKinney and watch the CJ Cup. Now, when is it for 2026? What's the date on it?
We're Memorial Day weekend, May 18 through 24.
Come All on right, out. Bobby, we may have to make that run over there.
We keep saying we're going to do it, but I think this year we're going to have
someday,
to
someday, exactly.
Yeah. Well, we'll see if we can't get over there. Do you have an extra room available,
he
John?
Does.
That would help.
He does.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
We'll take care of you. We'll take care of you. Come on.
All right. All right, buddy. Well, look, hey, good luck to your Longhorns today. Thanks for taking time to be with us, and I look forward to having you back on soon, okay?
You bet. We'll talk soon. Roll Tide.
All right, buddy. There you roll go. Tide, hey, we got a Roll Tide out of a Texas Longhorn. I love it.
Tell your lovely wife, Jen, hello.
Yes.
She's got a great family.
There you go. There you go. Good stuff. John Drago, tournament director for the CJ Cup, Byron Nelson. He does a great job. And it was good to see him on TV, looking good. And our good friend Tom Corpus also was a rules official. And Tom's been on the show with us. Tom is a big Philadelphia Eagles fan. Mm-hmm. And he got a lot of airtime on Sunday.
Yeah, he's a good guy. You know, those two guys are pros right there.
Yep.
I mean, John is so well-polished in how he handles himself. And he working for the president, I mean, the salesmanship club in Dallas for the CJ Cup, that's a big deal. And he heads that operation very, very professionally. He's a good friend and just a good PGA pro.
Well, of course, as we mentioned, Alabama's got Vanderbilt today. Next week they will have Missouri. That will be at Missouri. So let's see what Missouri today. Missouri has a weekend off, I believe. Yep, they do. They have the weekend off. So good luck to Alabama. Good luck to Texas.
Who's Oklahoma play today?
Oklahoma's got Kent State.
Okay.
So
practice game.
There you go. Bobby, thank you as always for hanging out with us. Great to have Coach Cleveland in here. And
thank you. We're staying with the tournament on Sunday. I know you got Southern Fairways coming up Sunday. You're going to be down at the Gulf. We got the Lions Club tournament Sunday. Even though it's a little bit of rain in the forecast, we're going to go for it. Got some great tournaments coming up I want to talk about. One for the Volunteer Fire Department coming up in a couple of weeks. And the South Baldwin Republican Women's Association is having a tournament, a fundraiser for the Boys Ranch. So we got a lot going on at Quail Creek.
Well, thank you. Absolutely. Go see them for sure. All right, that's going to wrap it up for us. Thank you for hanging out with us. Until next week, I'm Randy Bergen for Bobby Hall and the whole staff here at Southern Fairways. Have a great day. Hit a knee, say a prayer. God bless America. God bless Israel. Bye-bye, everybody.